Hey, everybody. If you're listening to this podcast, I expect that you crave and enjoy knowledge, right? So that's why I want to tell you about the new The Great Courses Plus video learning service. This is a service where you can learn about anything that interests you with unlimited access to over 7,000 video lectures on fascinating topics, including science, history, even how to cook. All of this is taught by top professors, and I really want you to try it out. So they're giving BrainStuff listeners a special chance to watch hundreds of their courses for free. This includes the course that I just watched called Fundamentals of Photography. Now, this is taught by professional photographer and National Geographic fellow Joel Sartore, and he gives you techniques to take better pictures. He has valuable advice on lighting, framing, perspectives, all of it. You should totally check it out. I'm a big fan of The Great Courses Plus, and I want you to try it out too. So we made a deal with them, and BrainStuff listeners, when you sign up, you will immediately get a free month of unlimited access to all of their lectures. Start your free trial today by going to thegreatcoursesplus.com/brainstuff. That's thegreatcoursesplus.com/brainstuff.
Welcome to BrainStuff from How Stuff Works.
Hey BrainStuff, I'm Christian Sager. The official Marvel Comics database says that Captain America's shield is a metal disc that's approximately 2.5 feet in diameter and weighs 12 pounds. But Rhett Allain at Wired Magazine did some math and figured out that it would be more likely to weigh 43.9 pounds. Despite the shield being made of a unique alloy combining vibranium, which is a fictional metal, steel, and an unknown third component, Allain also figured out that the density of the shield would be somewhere between 8,767 and 4,383 kilograms per meter cubed. That is somewhere between the density of iron and titanium. Now, in the Captain America comics, the story goes that Dr. Myron McClain was attempting to replicate Hercules' golden mace by fusing vibranium with an experimental iron alloy. Some say it was a steel alloy, but even McClain didn't know what it was because he fell asleep when an unknown catalyst was introduced to the process. He was never able to duplicate the process, so the government painted the disc and gave it to Captain America. But how would you forge such a thing, especially since metallurgy is so complicated? Just the forging temperature alone depends on the material's carbon content, its alloy composition, maximum plasticity, and the amount of reduction required. Was it heated by induction or by continuous fuel-fired furnaces? With a material this unique, you would have to carefully control the heating process. Now, forgeability is how easy or difficult a material resists deformation. And since Captain America's shield is indestructible, it would have to be a very narrow forging temperature range, meaning it could only be forged for a short time after heating. With metallurgical factors like crystal structure, chemical composition, and grain size at play, the only way McClain could have diminished their influence would be by adding alloying elements, possibly compounds, that easily dissolve within the metal. There are all types of elements that could have been introduced, but it's likely that Captain America's shield was forged like a super alloy. This is how metallurgists refer to iron-based, nickel-based, and cobalt-based alloys, specifically the ones that offer very high strength at high temperatures. These really high-strength metals and iron-based grades are the least difficult ones to work with. So that would narrow down McClain's experimental alloy to iron. Superalloys are really difficult to forge because of their narrow temperature range. You can't even use regular sizing presses and hammers on them because they'll deform. They even wear down the tools designed for forging them pretty easily. They're also extremely expensive, like 10 times the price of carbon steel. Sounds a lot like Captain America's shield, right? But how do we explain the shield's ability to absorb kinetic energy, supposedly from the vibranium in the alloy? Usually materials absorb kinetic energy through other mechanisms, like plastic or elastic deformation, or dynamic fluid flow. But Cap's shield doesn't seem to be an elastometric material, and it's not organic like polyurethane. In the movies, it actually seems to reflect vibration rather than absorb it. Like when Thor hits it with Mjolnir in that first Avengers movie and the shockwave flattens a whole forest, perhaps that was because the shield reached its absorption limit. Another thing that's tough to explain is how aerodynamic the shield is. If it really weighed 43.9 pounds, it would be difficult to throw, even for a guy in peak physical condition like Steve Rogers. In the comics, Tony Stark actually puts electromagnets under the shield to help control it in mid-flight, but Captain America later ditched them because they upset the shield's natural balance. It seems like the soldier and the shield are made for each other.
Check out the Brainstuff channel on YouTube, and for more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.